Coach, while you're taking a drink, let's pause for a second and give my father a shout out.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, this was a great Christmas present for the Life on the Road podcast. I got the green screen, so you really can't see mine, but Coach Keith got it. And
We appreciate all of the listeners, and then with the gifts, we've had a few this year. So
got some good
t-shirts. Appreciate that.
Some hoodies,
long sleeves, short, the whole nine. We're getting it.
Welcome to Life on the Road, a coach's journey with your hosts.
I'm Alfonso Key.
And I'm Scott Bolwich.
This is a podcast by coaches for coaches.
So sit back and enjoy another outstanding episode of Life on the Road.
Welcome to a special edition of Life on the Road. And the reason why it is special, because our special guests today are, you're looking at them, Coach Key and Coach Bolwich for today. So we want to talk about some different things that are going on this time of year when it comes to coaching. And from what we've seen already, the coaching carousel is slowly picking up. What we want to do is we want to talk about the different perspectives that coaches have during this time of year. The head coach's perspective, the assistant coach's perspective, when your job may be on the line. We know with the short leash that a lot of coaches have nowadays, your job is on the line almost every year. So, Coach Key, you've been a head coach at the Division II level. This time of year when we think all is good and, you know, sometimes you hear the rumors of, you know, your job may be on the line. Yeah. What goes through your head and what goes through a head coach's mind this time of year when that contract may be up?
Well, I tell you, the focus and just the process has changed. It used to be you had a 3 to 5 year contract. The last year of your contract, you really start to think about it a little bit as far as re-upping, what have you. But that's changed. Now you could get clipped in the second year of your contract, held at the end of your first year, third. So that has changed as the profession has matriculated for the last few years. And also, you know, what is the rumor mill is a little different. It used to be kind of word of mouth paper, but now you have the internet. You have sites that are legit, sites that are not legit. Then you have just on your phone, you can pop up and people projecting. So it's real chaotic. It's real chaotic. You know, as a head coach, you just kind of still lock in. That's legitimate, straight ahead. But a lot more difficult, again, because, you know, the end of your contract, you know, you're kind of looking at your body of work. Again, a lot of times this society is just so instant. So usually in your contract is 4 years. It's supposed to be looked at in totality, but the reality is people mostly look at it that last year. So you can start out your first year, two in the conference, second year, first, third, and your contract, your struggle. So that being said, just the noise is louder because of the access. And then as the profession has adjusted, you know, people may know before you do.
Absolutely. And the website that a lot of coaches go to is Hoop Dirt. And you
coaching
know,
changes.
Yes. You know, coaching changes, you know, you can find anything almost everywhere now, but you know, with Hoop Dirt, you know, they, I don't know how they find out a lot of things, but they're always, I want to say always the first to break, but they're pretty close.
No question.
And, you know, you think everything's good and you see your name on a hot seat on there.
Yeah.
Things are a little different.
No question. And again, just the bombarding of information and seeing it. A lot of times, again, behind the scenes is not always what you read about. But again, reaction is much more emotional because of it in your face. It used to be, you know, at the bar, the five and dime store talking about the adjustment. And again, coaches used to think off contract. Okay, at the end of my 4 or 5 year contract, yes, we have to renegotiate. And how have I done? And then you kind of have an idea. Well, what was our mission? What was our goal? Have we accomplished those things? Have we gotten close? But also, something we got to talk about too, Coach Bolwich, is just the difference in between your contract and leadership.
Right.
And so that adjusts everything. You know, you could have right on pace to your goals set out by your AD or your president, and then midstream, there's a coaching, there's an administrative change.
Right.
And he has a whole new objective. You know, not a matter of what you do, he wants his guy. So right. That plays a factor in it as well.
Yeah, and you said it absolutely right, because there are some things that are just out of your hands.
Yeah.
And I think we had Sean Walker on, and that was his situation where, you know, he did a really good job, but a change in leadership. Now he's looking for a new job because that guy wants
absolutely.
To bring a person in.
Absolutely. So, and on that coach, I was watching just the three legends, Indiana. I think it was Reggie Miller, mm-hmm. Larry Bird, Isaiah Thomas, and it was had a nice little conversation about their interactions. And then, you know, Larry Bird was the head coach of the Pacers.
Right.
And then Isaiah, I think, behind him. And then Larry Bird came back as, I think, a GM.
Okay. Right.
And Isaiah was saying the story. Larry came back in a different capacity, invited Isaiah in the office and say, you know, Isaiah, I appreciate you. We're going to go in a different direction.
Right.
Isaiah was like, I think it's a mistake. You know, they're both Indiana guys through college and hometown. And probably tongue in cheek, Isaiah said, Larry said, you know, yeah, you're right. But I just like this guy. You know, I like, and the guy that he ended up hiring for the head job was on his staff as an assistant. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of laughing, but say, I like this guy better. But the point was, just it's personal sometimes, and you know that you know somebody and more comfortable. And the guy that coach at the time, GM Larry Bird, hired was his former assistant that was on his staff.
Right. And now we talk about assistants. Now that you mentioned assistant coaches getting promoted and things along those lines, you know, from an assistant coach perspective, this time of year is always, you know, very uneasy.
Internal conflict.
Right. Because you have your, what you want to think as your safety net being your job.
No question.
But, you know, like Coach Eves, who he both worked for at A&T, mm-hmm. he always told us, always know where your next job is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And,
great leader. Yes.
And I heard him, but I didn't listen.
Right.
And you got out, but
yes, yeah.
But I didn't. And that I'll never forget that day when he calls us over to his office. We walk in there and the athletic director's in there. And I'm oh boy.
Yeah, that's not a good meeting.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, man, I should have listened. Like,
no question.
Gotten out.
But to your credit, Coach, just all of the attributes that made you successful, made you an elite assistant coach, associate head coach, was your commitment, your loyalty, and your vision carrying out the head coach. So that's kind of a conflict when you're just all in at every university trying to be successful, believe it'll happen, to do that midstream and look for the next job, which you have to. But, you know, the more you're bought in, the more difficult it is. Some guys on Hoop Dirt all season. Some assistant coaches, let me tell you what, they do the recruiting, they do their scouting, and they do Hoop Dirt, and they're on the phone the whole time. So it is just such a dynamic oxymoron.
Definitely. And it's always a tough time this time of year. And
it is.
You know, I'll say I'm glad I'm on this side.
No question.
And don't have to go through this stress
at all.
Man, what's going to happen? And, you know, you think you're good, but you just never know.
You never know. That's what makes it almost addicting. You don't know, because it could go a variety of ways. Then you still have to take care of those young men that you're leading, you know. And I've been on both sides as a head coach, into my contract, trying to negotiate a contract that I want, and mm-hmm. head leadership may not want the extension. And then you're still walking in the practice, walking in the games, and then, you know, you're being professional with the young people, knowing the back of your mind there may be a chance it may change. And then mm-hmm. with media a little bit, and then they have use a board of trustees meetings where they mm-hmm. discuss it, and it always gets out. It always gets out. I'll tell you, my last year at Fayetteville State had, I think, 10 returning players on that roster, two All-Americans. Two all freshmen. Most time you leave three or four. I left 10. And again, you know, it's a rented chair. And then I remember it might have been, you know, I know the AD and have negotiation board of trustees that was going on, but someone called me a booster and I guess a family member of mine were in Norfolk State at Norfolk or at the MEAC tournament. Ooh. And just called me and said, "Hey, coach, are you okay?" And once I heard that, I said, "No, I'm good." You know, because nothing had finalized, but once someone connected asked you, "Are you okay?" They know something.
Yep.
They know something. And then it transpires. And then, you know, you talk to your team. You talk to your team. And I try to go the angle of, hey, I've trained you up a certain way. You're going to be fine. But, you know, when your best player's tears coming down the eyes. So my concern is with them, not me, because of that phase, you know, you built them up. You know, they're 7 years and your staff did a great job and your second parents and you build them. So they're not looking at, you know, then we weren't losing like that. It was just a change. Your heart goes out for them because that is almost like a divorce when a parent is gone. And the new coach is going to come in. It's going to be a good coach. Nothing against them. But you can't replace that relationship within, you know, at that time. And that was 6-7 years ago. Now, with the rules and the portal, it's more transactional. But then the media would have you and they check on you. But as assistant coach, again, it could be the opposite. Your head coach could get a job and leave.
Yeah, right.
And then he may go to a level where he may not bring you because you may need a guy that is regional or experienced. So you could get left in the dark twofold, as assistant coach, head coach getting fired, or the head coach leaving.
Yeah, and that's one thing where, you know, we can roll into this part of it. But when that does happen, when you finally get the word from family members or from the media or actually from the athletic director.
No question. Hoop dirt.
Right. Yeah. You see a lot of places before you hear it, it's actually official.
No question. But
when it does happen, and, you know, let's look at your situation, because as we talked before, you had never been let go in any position from an assistant coach to your head coaching position. You've always moved on. And now all of a sudden it happens.
Yeah.
And what's going through your mind of, you know, do I want to stay a head coach? Do I want to go back to be an assistant coach? Because you've coached at all levels. So
no question. You're
definitely more qualified than a lot of people to coach wherever. But what was going through your mind when that happened? And, you know, just talk about the family situation and your professional situation.
Well, you talk about the demographics of the geography of moving. You know, my situation, my first 5 years in the profession, I moved 5 straight times.
Right.
Advancement. I mean, I moved from Fayetteville to Murfreesboro to Winston-Salem to Colloway to Winston-Salem. You know, like I said again, North Carolina, A&T Greensboro. So I moved a lot. So family, you know, oldest son, like, can you please stay here during the Fayetteville State tenure as a head coach? I don't care if the Lakers call you. You know, and the funny thing about that, it was year 5, I was hot, could have moved, but didn't. So when it happened, you become selfless, you know. Family, like, you know what? Honestly, we don't want to move. You know, we didn't want to move. We've been here longest. You know, I want to stay in the school. Why can't I stay? So that was mine. Like, you know, they have just all this time, 19 years, it's all been about me. I mean, we didn't even check on who else's job or school. We just go. And then at that kind of pause, I was at the point where, you know, and, you know, at last they were like, nah, I'm not moving. So how do I continue to stay in the profession? If I want to stay in the profession, what capacity to serve without uprooting my family? Mm-hmm. So I was fortunate to get an assistant job at Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, and family stayed here.
Right.
So a lot of things go on. Again, if it was early in your career, late in your career, why it happened, you know, mine's a 7-year run. I think the longest tenure coach there, I mean, 25 some years. So, you know, in our profession, 7 years is a long time.
Yes, it is.
So wasn't bitter, was grateful.
Right.
Was coach of the year. Was first time in 30 years. So, you know, it was just a lot going on. I tell you one thing, it's funny though, just when you get that and the outreach and the appreciation of all of the Lumen fans and just people.
Very grateful.
But it turns the page and it gets very quiet, you know. And then it's who's the next head coach at Fayetteville State University, what have you. But again, that was 7 years ago without Twitter and Instagram went on fire like they are now.
Right.
I'm pretty sure now guys know like 2 weeks in advance, like, hey, man, you're not going to be here. But again, it was a contract year. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't a complete shock. I know some people, I'm watching some games as we do that, maybe in their second year contract, sign a five, and they're about to get let go. So that has to be much more crushing.
Right. Nowadays, especially at the high levels, nowadays their buyouts are unbelievable.
And
with a lot of sports, I'm sure football coach at Texas A&M had a $76 million buyout.
He's so smart.
I don't think he's stressing about getting let go there. But I can tell you from my personal perspective, not so much the head coach, but the assistant coach. So, you know, this was the first time, I can't say the first time, a couple times, but where you've been let go.
Yeah.
And now you're really scrambling, trying to figure out what's next.
Yeah.
And, you know, even though, you know, coach said always, you know, find your, you know where your next job is.
You have time to look for it. Yeah, you was too busy.
And yeah, because it happened so fast.
Yeah.
You know, you're not looking, because he had another at least 1 year, maybe 2 years left on his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those things where you weren't prepared for not that part. You know, you hear the rumors, right, but you don't think it's gonna happen.
And people always talking. So, you know, people always don't like you today, didn't play their child. I mean, someone always mad recruiting. So you hear that, but I guess when it's louder, you're not sure on where it's coming from.
Right. And for my situation at A&T, they moved me to the interim head coach while everything was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So in that, you know, you have that small glimmer of hope that you may have an opportunity to stay on.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was, you know, the way I pushed it. I mean, we had, you know, I think seven guys coming back.
Yeah.
And it was ripe for a successful year.
No question.
I was making the schedule. They had the best schedule, pre-conference schedule they had ever had.
It's cold business.
It was set for success. Somehow I signed a JUCO kid without having a job there.
You're good.
Yeah. Who was that missing piece that they needed? And, you know, but then that comes to an end.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you have to decide, man, what do I want to do?
Right.
And I'll tell you what.
Quickly. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I took a couple months off. I didn't do anything over the summer for the first time. I think it was like 17 years.
17 years had a summer.
From working basketball camps
all summer,
recruiting to doing something over the summer.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is nice.
It is.
I went to one event, and this was back when they had the two 10-day periods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the very last weekend, I'm sitting in a gym, first day of the event, these coaches come walking in like zombies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't even Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
So they were just dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, you know what? Like, I just need to step away from this.
No question.
So, you know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this.
Yep.
But it's all, you know, again, from head coaches to assistant coaches, it can be nerve-wracking. And, you know, I don't have a family to worry about if I want to move somewhere, whereas you were always having to make that decision of, you know, what's my family going to think?
No question.
Yeah. What are they going to do?
People had no idea. I want to thank you, too, because a time or two, you helped me move. You know what I'm saying? I think you picked up some book, some big, I think, magazines. But, yeah, you helped in the process.
Yeah,
I appreciate that.
You took full of magazines.
Magazines. Yeah, I think they might have been Jet magazines, too. They were small. But I appreciate that. But also, as a head coach, I didn't say my mind changed to my assistant coaches. So I'm thinking about them. Because it's really almost a self-profession. Like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm talking, can this guy get the job? He could do it. Give him an interview. He knows the players, what have you. So I'm trying to get him an interview because, you know, even though you get or not, that helps you professionally. So I'm trying to put him in the best light, trying to call the people, get them jobs. So, you know, as a head coach, you're really trying to take care of your staff. And at that time, the players, trying to calm them down, trying to, you know, let right. them know it's part of business. It is. So a lot's going on with that. But now, like this time of year, as you alluded to earlier, different levels, like, you know, most Division I schools, it's that tournament. And it's that right. tournament. That tournament can make or break you. I mean, they mm-hmm. just want the tournament. You could be third or fourth, but you make a run, you get an extension and jump. Vice versa, you get kicked, you know, you don't make it. It's right. just damaging. So, you know, it started to heighten. And you're doing out all that and you're coaching and you're preparing. And it used to, again, this is years ago, but now it's transition. You used to try to win and build. So right. you're winning and building habits. But now these guys, they can't build. I mean, they got to win today and tonight. And, you know, upsets, and that's where you see the emotion of the tournament. I think the big portion of the tournament, the players give all they have and compete. But the other emotion is just anxiety and stress. I mean, you get knocked out the wrong round, you're done. The Absolutely. Same round you win, you propel up in the profession. It's amazing how that works.
Yeah. And, you know, especially now with the transfer portal, you know, you talk about the process and thought process you go through.
Yes.
When you're at this time of year. Mm-hmm. And if you have a young core group of guys that are carrying a lot of the load as far right. as scoring, as far as minutes and everything goes, and you know that, man, if I can just keep this core together,
no question,
the following year we're going to be better.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. People understand. We want to win now. Sometimes you have to struggle now to win later. Right. Any aspect of life is a struggle. If it's gardening, if it's weights, you got to struggle with 135 and get on your chest and be sore to get 155. You know, but right. something about basketball, people think now. And then, you right. know, there's some relationships that are personal. You're trying to build young people sometimes off the floor. But I tell you another thing we didn't say earlier just about that whole process and the tournament. Weighing so heavy, you yes. could have with the carousel, you could have someone else that they want to put right. in your position. You know, mm-hmm. Division I guy that's available. So someone may get fired from the NBA or fired from high major, and they're trying to stack them on your head. So it's a lot going on. And then when it does happen in your situation, being an interim, you know, players are getting up out of there. But now they get right. recruited the whole time, you know, so yeah. they're just waiting. Yeah. Right. So it is March Madness means more than basketball plays. It is coaches navigating, trying to advance, trying to survive all within. But now, and we're part of that I guess, space now with our coaching podcast. But there's some podcasts that their objective is who is getting fired every week. That's what you're talking about. Right. Who's on the hot? They got the point. They look up contracts. And all this is he is the last year he's available and it's bombarding. So I can't imagine again enjoying high school in reference to the lifestyle, you know. But
and yeah, this I'll tell you what, this space that we're in mm-hmm. is it's so crazy because people ask me, oh, do you want to get back into coaching? No, nah, I'm good. I'm good. The way this yeah, now
this is wild.
Know, right, the lack of stability,
none
from your contract. Not really, yeah. even though it's 4 or 5 year contract. We know it's not that anymore.
It's my mentor told me it's a annual contract. Remember yes. that season to season.
And then you know that's the way scholarships. You know the one year renewable.
That should be a T-shirt. Yeah.
Right. So now you have the transfer portal,
yeah,
which can again affect your following year. As I was saying earlier, you're building this team with young players, mm-hmm. and you mm-hmm. know the following year, you know, you may have an early exit in the conference tournament, but you know they played hard, you know, they just missed yeah. a couple shots.
Yeah.
But that next year, now at the end of that season, you are re-recruiting your own players.
No question.
And
can you imagine that?
Man, the perfect example, last year, Florida Atlantic, a Final Four team, mm-hmm. the head coach said during one of the press conferences around the Final Four, he's like, I'm having to pretty much re-recruit my players right now that we're still playing because schools are contacting them, trying to get them to transfer.
Yeah, we're getting old, Scott.
Yeah.
There's something called honor and respect. It's gone.
No.
It's gone. It's gone. At every level, high school was gone. AAU, respect to the coach. It's gone of your peers. Remember back in the day, you know, if a guy called you from another school, which you would call the coach and say, hey, man, Scott called me. And that's how you handle it. And he would say, I appreciate your coach. And he said, well, I'm going to let him go anyway. But now it's just it's crazy.
Right. You from my understanding, as a coach, you have to check the portal to see if your players are transferring or not.
It's something called relationship. It's called turbulence. Like, you know, people, not the fake, like, you know, we get a lot of fake relations. People's coaches, people smile on your face, stab you in the back. That's, we used to that. But real relationships, if it's family, you have struggle, disappointment, anger, and you get through it. That's what hardens it. Not the, hey, you know, everything ain't right. Like family, you have brothers and sisters. So that, we used to have that with players. Freshman, I can't stand Koski. He don't know. Man, he all on me. I hate that dude. That dude, second year, man. Oh, junior year. Hey, man, listen to Coach, man. Freshman doing senior year crying, man. Coach, I appreciate you, man. I used to be not on time. And then, but the struggle relationship, that's genuine. Mm-hmm. But now everything is transactional. Hey, can you come in for a year? I want $100,000. You know, parent don't even care. They don't even ask no more. Hey, my mom is great and I play. My mom talking to head coach Duncan about education. I mean, like, you know, full scholarship, a couple of things she wanted, recruited me. I got, you know, different school, Eastern Washington, Fayetteville State. She just wanted two things. One, is the school paid for? That was big for her.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. Will he get his degree? Yes, ma'am. Make him a man. That's it. So if I call her about anything, well, Lavelle Moten over at Central, he gets 20 shots. I'm getting 7. Didn't care. Right. Coach called me this bad name. She said, did he put your scholarship? No. He's still in school? Click. You know, so she didn't want, long as he on those three things.
Right.
But now you said my son going to be the point guard. Well, now I've come up to three. Well, you need to run some more screen and roll. Johnny, get more shots. It's crazy. Insane. No one says, like, when Johnny didn't skip 5 damn classes and got 4 D's, you change them. They never call for that.
No,
coach, Johnny got 3 D's. Thank you so much for interacting with Johnny, girlfriend. No, they call for that. Johnny got four shots and Jim got 9. They don't even fake it no more.
Right.
So imagine recruiting that type of kid. All you got to tell them what they want to hear. And the parents, thank God for podcasts.
Yeah. It puts us in a great peace of mind this time of year. And coach, while you're taking a drink, let's pause for a second and give my father a shout out.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, this was a great Christmas present for the Life on the Road podcast. I got the green screen, so you really can't see mine, but Coach Keith got it. And
fire. Yeah. We appreciate all of the listeners. And then with the gifts, we've had a few this year. Yes. So
got some good t-shirts.
We appreciate that.
Some hoodies.
Long sleeves, short, the whole nine. We're getting it. But back to you, like I said, just more difficult with the way the rules are to build relationships because they have to have trust, but they have to have rigor. And now that the way it is, when you in, when you out, you have to make it appear everything is good because once it's not, they are gone. And remember back in the days, you know, they called the parent called you and said, nah, we're going to keep Johnny here. I mean, you know, but now it's like, Johnny gone. And you said that he said that we're going to be a point guard, but I'm really a full man. So I respect the coaches. I love it. I love them collegially and really praying for them because I can't imagine what they know. No, I know what they're doing now. It's not building character. It's not relationship. It's just basketball now. It's basically summer league basketball at the highest level. There's no relationships. There's nothing. Win now. Get many players collectively.
Yep.
No relationship. And make them happy for a summer. And that's what it is. So if you're trying to use this as a tool of changing lives, it's getting a little more difficult.
Yeah. It's really become high-paid travel ball.
It is. And I was never good at that. I never did. And again – because I thought my strength was relationships and trying to teach life skills. Think about, I'm not that old, but I feel it. I was trying to do that through basketball. Ain't that crazy? Now I'm winning too, but I was trying to make young men better discipline
and use basketball to teach life lessons.
Go to make people better. I mean, who am I? I must be a maniac now. And my philosophy was, I have their attention with this basketball. So I'm going to use this to my advantage, being on time, being respectful. And after a while, I'm going to trick them to do these right things for basketball. And after a while, it'll be a part of their personality. But hey, what was I thinking, man? Shoot. I need a transfer portal. Tell everybody to play the 3-1-2. Tell the mom they could come to the game and locker room when they want to, and we'll give them a shout out. But it's definitely a good profession, but it has changed. And that way of thinking will get you fired in 2 years. You better get as many players as you can.
Hey, period. The old saying, it's a great profession and a bad business.
Bad business. And, you know, even think about this basketball as a coach, your system has to change.
Right.
We talk about complex systems, and we call it deep learning when it becomes a level where it becomes a habit. It takes a lot of time and a lot of repetition, failure. So right. Deep learning, if it's a motion offense with flares and reads, you got to be simple because you got to get, because a lot of times guys first year, you know, you see a guy from high school balling out, you see him on college, you know, in the fanfare, coach, what does Coach Cal call him? The basketball bennies. Well, so-and-so holding him down. I said, no, he's understanding a system. It takes some time. And then in a year or two, he's just flowing. But now with a year in, you're out, you better be simplistic, get you a 1-2-2 zone, high ball screen stuff, and go from there, because you can't plant roots 3 or 4 years. It takes time, no matter how talented you are. And high majors on TV, you see those guys, their talent comes back in on the defensive end because the habits aren't built. But yeah, so it changes to your point. The system has to be more simplistic and more universal.
Absolutely. And that's a whole nother conversation.
My fault. Yeah, no, that's the next show. Yeah, my fault. That's the next show. Yeah.
You know, we've done a tremendous job of staying away from X's and O's.
Yeah.
Through all the episodes we've done so far.
Yeah.
You know, not talking strategies and philosophies, but, you know, more so the journey. And, you know, with this time of year, this is where a lot of those coaching journeys are going to, you know, they're at the fork in the road.
Yes.
And where are they going to go and where are they going to end up? And so, you know, we have nothing but respect for all the coaches out there, because we know what you're going through.
You. Oh, we love you. We appreciate you.
And that gives us more content to talk about as their journey goes and as their journey continues.
Yes.
So does ours. So, Coach Key, any final words as we wrap up our special edition with our two special guests today?
Well, again, want to wish all the coaches on this time of year with some of the pressure that is invalid at times. Stay on your journey, even though a contract may end, but the life that you impacted will continue and prosper. So wishing you guys to do what your calling is. And then sometimes you change spots, but a change stops in spots, but definitely keep doing your journey, because there's no more impactful profession in the world than coaching.
Absolutely. So Coach Key, until next time.
I'm Alfonso Key.
And I'm Scott Ballwich.
Keep it in the road.
And keep it between the lines.
We want to thank you for your continued support of the Life on the Road podcast. Please comment on each episode and give us that 5-star rating wherever you get your podcast. And make sure you hit the follow button so you don't miss an episode. You can also watch all the episodes on our YouTube page and follow us on social media at Coach AKSB. Thanks again to all of our guests and listeners. This wouldn't be possible without you.